السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما، صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، respected brothers and our sisters that are listening over receivers, everyone is well aware of what is happening around the globe, especially those people who are watching the news or reading newspapers or listening to the news. And they are well aware of the tragedies, they are well aware of the destruction that is taking place in different parts of the world. It's not only Japan. Japan, of course, is the worst hit at present. But even if you have to look at the other areas, there is so much of destruction, so much of killings, so much of war and battle and all kinds of problems, that the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and mankind in general is facing. There seems to be absolutely no peace, no happiness, no contentment, no satisfaction that any person is enjoying. Those people who have been blessed with good fortune, they too cannot say that we are very, very peaceful and we are enjoying some kind of comfort, because the hearts have become restless. Person does not know what to expect in his own country, in his own city, in his own town. It can be the pious, it can be the righteous, it can be the awliya-i-kiram, it can be anybody. But everyone has got this in the heart, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must not unleash his anger and wrath because of our sins, because of our weaknesses, because of our shortcomings, because of our engagement and indulgence in different kinds of vices and evils. Now, this is in the heart. But at the same time, the fine line here is this, that when we look at disasters in other places, then we will speak about those disasters. And if it is an alim that is giving some bayan, or somebody is making waaz and nasihat, then he will speak about how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala destroyed the nations of the past when they engaged in certain kinds of sins, and how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned that when my ummah will engage in certain kinds of sins, then these will be the reactions. So this is what is going to be the reaction. This is what is going to come from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, that is for general purposes. But the danger there, and as I said, the fine line there is this, that the person who is talking about the sins or talking about the evils or talking about the destruction sometimes believes that he is not part of that tragedy. Pride comes into the heart of the person, and when he says that people are getting destroyed because of their sins, then he is the one that's going to face the biggest destruction. It's a warning of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore, it is extremely important and necessary that whenever we make nasihat to somebody, then deep down in our hearts, we must annihilate ourselves, and we must truly consider ourselves as the most sinful ones. And sometimes, as it happens, that because of the mischief of some person, lots of others also suffer. One person has done the mischief, but lots of others suffer. Sometimes the husband is the one that has done the mischief, but the whole household suffers. Sometimes the father that has done the mischief, the whole household suffers. All the children suffer. Allah Ta'ala's system is such that on the day of Qiyamah, He will separate. The good will be separated from the bad. And in this world also, some kind of rewards will be given to those people who will have to exercise patience and sabr over the difficulties that they will endure. But the mischief was committed by someone else. So just like that, sometimes we are the cause of the problems of the ummah around the globe. But we always believe that it is the sins of others around the globe that is bringing all the problems. And we are quite pure, quite clean, and we have got nothing to fear. Therefore, this ayat of the Quran Sharif which I recited, in it Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about pride. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions those people who have got the sifat of tawazu and humility in them. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. That they walk on the earth with humility. The Ibadur Rahman, the servants of Rahman. They walk with humility on the earth. They don't walk with pride and arrogance. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in many, many ayat, the time is too limited on a Jumu'ah day to go into any details. But there are so many ayat of the Quran Sharif in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has warned us about pride. We have discussed this many a time, but it is necessary to renew and refresh in our memories and take lessons again and again, because this is our weakness, that the moment we see sins being committed, or we see some destruction in any part of the world, then immediately Shaitan whispers into our hearts that you are not the cause of the problem. You are very pure and clean. And therefore, when we advise people also at that time, we don't seem to feel in our hearts that we are also engaging in so many different kinds of sins. It is only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that has concealed those sins from others. So we have to reflect and ponder over the beginning of our creation. From where did we come? Original was dust and sand. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created out of dust. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. This was why Shaitan, he said that I am superior to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, because he is created of dust and I am created of fire. So this pride is a very dangerous disease. So we have to ponder and reflect over where did we come from, our original state. Therefore, when a person dies and we bury the person, what do we say and what ayat do we recite? Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that it is from this sand and from this earth that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He created of the same sand and earth. And then He returns the person, just give you an explanation. When the person dies, when the person's soul has left him, then again his body is returned to the same earth, where the body will become a dish or a menu for the millions of worms. And then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will raise again from the same earth. Now look at the humility of the earth. Has the earth shown any kind of pride and arrogance? If a person wants to build his toilet, then has the earth ever complained that what sin did I commit, that you are putting up your luxury bedroom on that side and you're putting a toilet here? Did the earth ever complain? And look at all the filth and dirt and everything that is thrown on the earth. And look at the way that we walk and trample the earth. There's absolutely no complaint of any kind. Therefore, we must become like the earth in humility. It doesn't mean, of course, that every person can throw dirt on the person and it still doesn't worry him. But what I'm trying to explain is that our original state was that of earth. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created all this. And then after that, if you have to look at how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system works, that He could have made us grow like how trees grow, caused us to grow from the ground like trees. But look at Allah Ta'ala's system. Filthy, dirty cement from which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala causes conception, and then in the mother's stomach, and then again if you look at the nourishment in the mother's stomach, it is the menstrual blood. Look at Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, how He is showing us before we come into this world, the person is going through all these stages, and then see how he comes into this world also, absolutely ignorant, having absolutely no knowledge. He can't do anything himself. Then he starts growing. Then Allah Ta'ala gives him that intelligence, he gives him strength, he gives him health, he gives him wealth, he gives him everything. So is there any place for this person to be proud and arrogant? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion, when he was talking about pride, that the person will not even enter into Jannah, the person who has even a mustard seed of pride in him is not going to enter into Jannah. And he alone entering into Jannah, in another hadith sharif, he will not even get the fragrance of Jannah. So the Sahaba kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala increase and elevate the stages that certain questions that they asked, it made it easy for us to understand the different concepts. So they asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, one Sahabi asked that, sometimes it is the desire of a person to wear a good shoe, good clothes. So is that also pride, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? The person is wearing good clothes, is wearing good shoe, is that pride? Now, if he had not asked that question, then we would have said, any person that wears good clothes or a good shoe or drives a good car or stays in a good home, then that is pride. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that is not pride. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Inna Allaha jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Beauty is something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself is beautiful, and he likes beauty. We're not talking about extravagance here. We're not talking about extravagance, because we have gone in that line now, that when it comes to beauty, then we have gone into extravagance. Look at the kind of monies that are being spent. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. And he said, what is pride? It is batarul haq wa ghamtun nas. That when haq is conveyed, when the truth is said, then this person, because of his pride, he doesn't accept the truth. He will always defend. He will defend all his weaknesses, mistakes, shortcomings, all his sins, anything that he has done which is wrong. But he will not have the courage and the himmat to say, yes, indeed, it is my mistake, it is my weakness. And that is a human being. What kind of a human being is that who doesn't make any kind of mistake? He's not a human being, then he's an angel. Mistakes will happen. It is in the life of a person. He will go, may commit some kind of errors, mistakes, faults. He may slip. But that person is a mu'min and a believer, that he acknowledges his mistakes. And if he has to make amends, then he makes amends. If the person has failed on his promises, then he approaches the person and says, yes, I failed to fulfill this promise of mine that I had made. Whether it's regard to payment of monies or whether it's regard to anything else, but he admits it. He acknowledges it. He does not become angry and agitated that why is this person asking me for payment of that loan. He admits that it is my mistake, I promised, but due to unforeseen circumstances or some other reasons I was unable to pay. So he does not reject the haq. When it is haq, he does not reject. In the same way, if the person is told something with regards to his akhlaq, or with regards to his dealings, or with regards to his marital life, the person is abusing his wife or his children and somebody has come to know and is advising him, or is advising him with regards to the wuzu that he is making at the wuzu khana and the water is flowing one way and the person is unconcerned that there is wastage here, or the person is wasting electricity, lights are burning when it's not necessary, whatever it may be, whether it is of this world or it is of the akhirat, something that he is informed of, where he definitely has that weakness and that shortcoming. But as long as the person who is informing also, he must have that politeness, he must not have that arrogance in him. Therefore I am saying that the person who makes nasihat, and this is mentioned in the kitab, read Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi's kitab, that the person who is making nasihat at the time of nasihat, even Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi said this, that at the time that he is making nasihat to others, if he thinks that he is better than the other person, then he's got no right to make nasihat. Then he mustn't make nasihat. At the time of making nasihat and at giving advice and inviting towards deen, if that person thinks that I am better than the other person because I am doing this work, I am doing that work, I am doing that work, and the other person is doing nothing, so then that person has got no right to make nasihat. On one occasion, when Allah wala, to make imamat, he went on to the musalla. And after going on to the musalla, then suddenly he looked back and he said, is there anybody else here who can lead the imamat? So they said, but you are the best amongst us. Why should you look for somebody else to make imamat? So he said, the thought just came in my mind that I am better than all these muqtadis and musallis that are here. Just that thought, and see how he was so concerned. On one occasion in the Bani Israel, there was an Abid who was a very great worshipper of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because of his worship and because of his ibadat and because of his remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, it was a hot day. Sun was shining brightly. And this person, where he was sitting, there was no tree to give him shade. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he caused one patch of cloud to come above the head of this person to give him some shade, so that he can keep engaged in his tasbih or zikr, whatever he was making. Because in those days they used to make a lot of ibadat. So one very sinful person looking at him under the shade of the cloud, so the desire came in his heart that how I wish I too was pious and righteous like this person. How I wish I too was pious and righteous like this person. But my whole life went in nothing but sins. So he, within his heart, was making tawbah. And he said, let me go and join this pious person and sit under the shade of that cloud and now change my life. But the moment the pious person saw him coming, he said, you get away from here. Who knows, but your coming, even my barakat will go away. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made it such that when he chased that person away, that cloud went with that person. The person who was making tawbah within his heart, the cloud went with him. And this pious person was left without any shade. And then the Nabi of the time was informed that tell both of them to start their deeds again. This pious person, he must start again. Because whatever he had achieved, he lost it due to that pride and arrogance of his. And this person who was sinful one, because of his sincere tawbah, within his heart, that repentance, that regret, that remorse that was there, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wiped away all his sinful deeds and gave him an opportunity to start again. What do we know what is going to be the end result? A slave cannot put a value on himself. We are all slaves of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Where can we put a value on ourselves? Can a slave put a value that I am worth so much, I am worth so much? Is the master that will put the value. My Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Dawud Barakatuh, he says that if there are some slaves that have fallen in a well, or they are in the prison, can one slave save the other slave? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is our master. He is going to put the value. That example of that woman that was, or that young girl who was getting married, I've given many times in the majalis. But there's a lesson in there, because we are speaking on pride, that this young girl was being beautified. Powder, lipstick and everything else was put on her face. And as I say, sometimes they are made to look like clowns, but they think we look very beautiful. By any case, she was being decorated for the occasion. Beautiful gown and beautiful perfume and everything else. Her friends were very excited and very happy that our friend is now getting married. But this young girl started crying. It's an example, but there's great lesson in there for us. She started crying. So she was asked that, is this the occasion to cry? You're getting married, it's an occasion to be happy and rejoice. You'll be going to a new home, and your husband also is looking forward to your coming, and you are looking also so beautiful and so pretty. So what is this reason to cry? So she said that I am crying, for I do not know whether my husband loves me or not, or in his sight am I beautiful or not. When my husband is going to tell me that I love you and you look very beautiful and very pretty, then that will be the day to rejoice. That will be the time to rejoice. Because sometimes a woman can be beautiful, but how many husbands Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forbid and Allah ta'ala prohibit and Allah ta'ala give hidayat For how many husbands, they've got pretty wives at home, but they are spending time with prostitutes. They know fully well that what these prostitutes have done. How many cases recently we are dealing with. The person's heart and mind also become so boggled and so clouded that at that moment he doesn't even think that this woman that I have at home, who is pure, who is clean, who is chaste, whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to me and she's got such beauty, where am I going to spend my night? With whom am I going to sleep? We have to say these things openly now. That at that time the person forgets that I was in Umrah, I was in Hajj, that I shed so much of tears at the Multazam, that I cried in Arafat and Mina and Muzdalifah, that I was at the Rosa Mubarak of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And where am I? And with whom am I? And what if my death comes in this state? One brother said, you can use my example, I won't use his name. He says, I was the last person to see this prostitute before she died. I was the last person. Now when she died, so they went through her list and they found out that this was the person, he was the last person. So they arrested him. Now Hafiz of the Quran Sharif was arrested. And after some investigation and all other kinds of things, and after suffering great amount of embarrassment, humiliation and disgrace, then somehow he got out of this problem. But he says, what a lesson I learned. I said, that's exactly what I keep saying in my bayans. That whenever there's a temptation of this nafs, see this prostitute, watch this porn site, go to this haram, listen to this, or immediately just ask yourself one question, what if, that's all. What if, you don't need any big waaz, nasihat, nothing. If the person is genuine, he's a believer in Allah Ta'ala and believer in the Akhirat, all he has to do is ask himself, what if? What if death comes in that state, then what? What if this young person had to die in that state? Or anybody else? So this girl said that the time to rejoice and the time to be happy will be that time when my husband will say that you are pretty. So like that, we as human beings on this earth and believers in Allah Ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what right do we have to look down upon anybody and say that destruction is coming because of their sins? Yes, we can speak in general that Allah Ta'ala's system is such that when we are going to be obedient to Him, then He'll send down conditions of prosperity, happiness, tranquility. And if we are going to be disobedient, if we are going to be disobedient, include ourselves in it, then Allah Ta'ala's system is that He sends down calamities, disasters, destruction, so that لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ زُهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Again Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy, that He sends that so that we return to Him. So that is all there is, that don't allow this pride to come into the heart. Pride is like the bomb, like the atom bomb. And it causes more damage to the iman of a person than the bomb that was thrown in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The destruction that those bombs caused, or all the other bombs that are falling everywhere else. This pride, where you either reject the truth, or the second thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, is looking down upon others. Considering ourselves superior and other people inferior. Now inshallah we'll continue with this if Allah Ta'ala wills and gives life, but we make dua for everybody around the globe. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala remove the pain, suffering, hardship, difficulties in the Middle East or in Japan or wherever, Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Sudan, Somalia, look at Africa, everywhere there's nothing but disasters, famine, drought, poverty, floodwaters, earthquakes. So we make dua, Allah Ta'ala remove the pain, suffering and difficulties and hardship. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. Allah Ta'ala must make us His obedient servants and slaves. And obedient slaves of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillah.